Salutations, listener. This is the Grumpy Old Man at 30 podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Randall. It is December 27th. You are listening to the Grumpy Old Man at 30 podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Randall. Getting into it, breaking news that is still breaking. The Christmas Day bombing in downtown Nashville on 2nd Avenue in front of the AT&T Switch Center. So, as of right now, there has been a person of interest identified as Anthony Quinn Warner. They always have three names, don't they? The Lone Wolves, a 63-year-old Nashville area resident, had the similar make and model RV as one of the photos and the one that was seen at his house, verified by Google Earth, and I'm sure the FBI has a lot more information on this. They are not looking for any additional explosive threats or any additional suspects, and they do believe that he had died in the explosion, making it a suicide bombing, the vehicle-borne IED, or improvised explosive device. So, just giving you the rundown, at 5:30 a.m. Christmas morning, a shots fired call was reported to Nashville Metro Police. We had six or so officers responding, and when they did respond, they heard a warning, an audible warning, telling them that the vehicle would explode in 15 minutes. And every minute after that, it would say this vehicle will explode in 14 minutes. So they began evacuating the few people that were still in their apartments. And nobody died in the blast, which is a miracle in and of itself. Obviously, loss of life was not the motive behind this bombing. It was clearly intended to destroy components in the Switch Center there at AT&T, where they have a massive data center. It is odd that if you go to Google Earth and click 2nd Avenue Street View, as you cross in front of the AT&T storefront there, it looks like a storefront, it's probably an entrance for employees, it's blurred out, and it says it's Google 2019, so it's been blurred out since 2019, so you can't get a direct view inside, likely for national security reasons. As everybody knows, the Patriot Act does allow for widespread spying by the NSA, the CIA, on American citizens. This Switch Center is likely one of those places utilizing that supercomputer that they have there to basically spy wholesale on Americans. That makes sense. For national security reasons, that's why they have it blurred out. So, and also, when you search AT&T 2nd Avenue, nothing comes up. It says there's no AT&T here. So, it's not a conspiracy theory. I'm not saying anything is fishy. It's just that this is what they do. They do this on military installations and the like. They blank them out on the Google Maps so that you can't pinpoint anything or take a look and get any kind of intel for this reason, for attacks like this. So, what we know now, breaking in this 2 o'clock hour, we also have another suspicious vehicle in Wilson County, about 45 minutes south of where the bombing was, and it is on Highway 231, about a half mile before the entrance to the Cedars of Lebanon State Park. I've been there myself. It's a beautiful park. It's a pretty secluded area. There are homes on the road where the vehicle has been stopped. It has been reported by Channel 5, Channel 4, and Channel 2 that local affiliates here in Nashville that there was an audible warning coming out of this box truck. The driver was detained. FBI and Highway Patrol are on the scene. There's pictures. You can see the bomb robot is approaching the vehicle at this time, and they're just telling people to stay away at the moment. So at this time, we have no, other than all the information that has come out, there really is no panic, other than this box truck incident, which it might be, you know, a false report. But other than this, everybody seems to be really chilled out because there's no casualties, which is always, it's amazing and an awesome thing that there's no casualties. But it seems as though this is not even going to be on the news on Monday morning. It's going to be regulated to the Chiron or the ticker, you know. Oh yeah, by the way, they found out another thing about that bombing, but don't worry about it. It was just, don't worry about it. A bomb went off in a major U.S. city, one of the largest growing cities in the United States, and everybody's just kind of like, wow, nobody died. All right, as long as you get my internet working, we don't care. And that makes me extremely suspicious. especially since 4 days ago there is unconfirmed and obviously uncorroborated reports, but reports nonetheless that Dominion voting machines would be sent down to Nashville for forensic auditing. Now, I wonder what facility would have a supercomputer that would be capable of doing a full-fledged forensic audit of voting machines like the ones that were confiscated. I wonder. So where does that leave us, listeners? Well, that leaves us with some very unusual information that's not getting any play on the mainstream media. What we have is the AT&T building that was bombed in Nashville is owned by a company called Staple Street Capital. The man who owns that company is Hutan Yaghubzeda. I can't say his name correctly because it's very outside of what my American tongue can pronounce, but it's Hutan Yaghubzeda. The current owner of Staple Street Capital, which also owns what? Dominion Voting Systems. Interesting. He also sits on the board of Dominion Voting Systems. Now, previously, he worked for Cerberus Capital Management as their senior vice president. That, you will recall, is the company that actually purchased the AT&T building back in 2007. So not only did he used to work for the company that bought it, but then he removes himself and buys it with a different company, right? Just kind of covering his tracks there. Now, why is this of any interest at all? Well, that's because it was reported that Dominion voting machines were going to be brought to Nashville at an undisclosed location to be forensically audited. Now, who do you think had the machines? Who do you think volunteered to do the audit? What facility had a supercomputer that they would need to do this audit that is just conveniently bombed on Christmas Day with no casualties? Is it a conspiracy theory? Yes. Is it true? Likely. It just stacks up. If it walks like a duck and it sounds like a duck, it's probably a fucking duck. I'm telling you. This is, it's absurd. It's not getting any play. Especially because we're going to get into the election now, obviously. Especially since all of the accusations of fraud are on one side of the ticket. All of the accusations of fraud, except for the one guy that they found that voted twice. He voted from his mother's, and that he voted for Trump twice. That guy is going to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, I have no doubt. But when you have millions of votes in contention, only in very specific areas where Biden won, that is enough to do a forensic audit and re-canvass of every single vote and only count the legal votes, i.e. the in-person votes that were confirmed by identification and the very narrowly acceptable absentee ballots that were previously confirmed by identification before they were requested and sent out to that verified person. Those are the only votes that should count. And if you think otherwise, then not only are you wrong, but you need to read the Constitution. Now, we have this deep state that has permeated every state and every single election board all over the country. And somehow, Trump wins by a landslide everywhere except where there are accusations of fraud. Does that make sense? Think about it. Not one place that is as an accusation of fraud is a place where Trump actually won. Now you're going to say, well, of course they're not going to contest if you win. Even in the places where he did win, that they did re-canvasses in Georgia and counties that he had already won, they found thousands of more votes for Trump. Once again, preponderance of evidence. The burden is on them to prove us wrong because we've already brought forth so much evidence. In Michigan, when they did the forensic audit of the six or so machines that were owned by Dominion, there was a 68% failure rate, which required a manual override, which means that they're flagging votes that were not in contention, that the software would flag them and say manual review needed. And then a partisan poll worker wearing a Joe Biden face mask, as we've seen in multiple pictures, will go over and say, oh yeah, these were all for Biden. It's uncontested. It is 100% true. There is no counter evidence. These are, and as the Navarro report points out, he collects all of the malfeasance, all of the oversights, all of the procedural problems. Think about this. We have a conservative Supreme Court for the first time in a generation. Yet we can't get them to hear a case of original jurisdiction, even when 19 states file for just to have the record be entered, just to have the evidence entered and seen by a court. Forget the lower courts. Forget the, yeah, Trump appointed a judge who dismissed it or wouldn't hear the case and kicked the can down the road. Of course he did. He doesn't want to be the guy who gets somebody from the Clinton Foundation to visit his house. Obviously. What would you do? Would you go against the Democrat Party, who have pretty easily pulled the wool over the eyes of so many millions of Americans, saying, no, there's no voter fraud. They'll tell you you're wrong, but they won't tell you what the counter evidence is. They'll say, well, yeah, there's a meme going around that says 133 million, which I looked it up. It's actually 140 million registered voters, and Trump gets 71 million and Biden gets 81 million. And we're what's the problem here? Well, they say, no, that's wrong, but we can't tell you how it's wrong. We can't give you evidence, counter evidence to support that it's wrong. So that, I mean, even if they're right, even if that meme is wrong, even if it, because that's how we push ideas forward. We take hypocrisies, we make memes out of them, and it makes you scratch your head and think. Many people just dismiss it as good old fashioned trolling, which it is. But if we're going to take anything serious, maybe we should take the election serious. Okay. Serious. If you have any counter evidence to the fraud that has been perpetrated, please come to my Facebook page and show it to me. Share it with me. I likely have in my back pocket on my desktop, I have counter evidence that is indisputable that will prove your point of view wrong, because all you do is listen to, you know, MSNBC, CNN, what have you. So onward, since we're talking about memes here, all right, let's talk about philosophy for a second. Now, there's a meme going around that says if 1 in 10,000 deaths is enough to shut down an economy, then 1 in 10,000 votes should be enough to shut down an election. Okay, pretty straightforward. And I want to highlight one of the comments I got on this. One of the comments says, so you think fraud is worse than murder? So right off the bat, fruit of the poisonous tree, these guys poisoning the well. I'm conflating those two things, but it's poison. They think that passing a virus, somebody dying from a virus, is murder. Okay, I'm sorry, but that's not how it works. There's an evidentiary standard for murder. It's called intent, motive, opportunity. Right? Motive, intent, same thing. If you're sick and somebody gets sick by touching a doorknob you touched hours ago, let alone the fact that other people have gone in and out of that door, can you be culpable for murder? No, obviously. So the left are literally absolutely retarded in this respect. They have no idea how to win the philosophical argument, because they don't study philosophy. They don't understand what it is to have values or morals. They only know how to criticize dialectic, right? Critical theory. That's all that has come forth out of Marxism that they've salvaged. The Frankfurt School. Critical theory. Criticize. It doesn't matter what you're criticizing. All you have to do is criticize it. And the action of criticizing it gives you some sort of scholarly pseudo-philosophical out to say, well, I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying that. Well, I mean, it's obviously there's probably more than two genders, dude. I'm just saying. It's like, well, that's not biologically feasible, and you have no evidence to the counter. And they say, well, I mean, I'm just saying. And that's where all of our problems come from, is that critical theory has infused itself into many of the humanities. What used to be a good education, a liberal arts degree, used to be a good education in this country, and now it has just been completely turned upside down by this Marxist thinking, neo-Marxist, cultural Marxism, whatever you call it. Identity socialism is the newest one of the day. All right, so we have this meme, which not only is the comment completely incorrect in its premise, but is fraud? Let's just digest this. Is fraud worse than murder? Well, Dante seems to think so. The eighth circle of hell, specifically, the second from the bottom, is reserved specifically for fraudsters. All right, the ninth circle of hell is for peaceful people who are treacherous, stab people in the back. Okay. Fraud is, in its own right, is wasteful to life itself, Dante. Okay, it's worse than murder. It is. It's worse than doing violence. And now that we've already established that fraud is worse than violence, now I'm going to easily transition you into what is violence? Is speech violence? Well, no, incitement to violence is obviously not protected under the First Amendment here in America, but also, you know, going back all the way to the Magna Carta, speech is speech and violence is violence. And to conflate those two things is a very dangerous thing that the left also does. And this is what they do. They crumble your foundation of being able to understand philosophy, to be understand morality, ethics at its very core. And then they're able to get you to believe that speech is violence. Because everything they do is fluid. Everything is critical theory, right? So without proof of incitement, this is what we're getting at. The collectivization of rational thought, not just on college campuses, but in the mainstream left, right? The collectivization of rational thought. Say, oh, well, it's dangerous to make Facebook posts, to have grumpy old man at 30 be able to be on Facebook and say things about the election. It's violence. Not just about the election, but about the wholesale hoax of the coronavirus lockdowns. Obviously, coronavirus is a virus, but everybody that died from comorbidities. More than one, as a matter of fact. Look, it looks like, not everyone, I'll save for that. It looks like only 6% of the people that caught it actually died directly of the disease, okay? Of the virus, okay? That's super low. It's very low. But they don't want me to be able to say that because they say it's violence. Right? Even though there is no counter evidence. Once again, I like being right. So I make sure that I'm right before I say it. Indisputable. So they say this is it's going to hurt people. People can't discern for themselves. They're not allowed to think. Unfortunately, Ludwig von Mises disagrees. The individual is the one that thinks. And the one that thinks is able to make rational thought. Okay? I think I'm butchering that quote. But basically, when I say it's up to the people to rationalize for themselves, to think, to I think, therefore I am. But they say, no. People are just going to get the wrong impression. They're going to hear wrong information. So if you're unable to hear wrong information and then screen it out and check it yourselves, cross-reference and say, oh, hey, I think that there's something up with this. I think that this might be incorrect. Based on other things that I've seen, other information I've taken in, good information, bad information. The only way to stop bad speech or bad information is with good speech and good information. Otherwise, you drive the purveyors of misinformation and bigotry and all of the like that they think is violence when it's just speech. It drives them into the underground and it vindicates them. They say, well, they wouldn't censor me if I wasn't right, which is a correct statement to say that why would you be censored unless you are correct? But in this perverted way of thinking, this collective rationalization to say, no, we know what's right. You're not allowed to think. You're not allowed to think or know what is right. Therefore, we're going to tell you what's correct by consensus, not by science. So they'll run away from science at this point. They'll run away from any kind of scientific metrics when it comes to speech. Any kind of real definition, but they're going to tell you you're wrong and you better believe it. Otherwise, you're dangerous. And what do we do with dangerous people? We lock them up. We kill them. We censor them. The Clintons have been doing it for a long ass time. Government's been doing it for a long ass time, especially with the advent of big tech and their so-called public square, where they selectively edit you out. If you're being selectively edited or shadow banned, maybe it's because people don't want to hear what I have to say. Or maybe it's because they push down the views and traffic they change the algorithms constantly. I don't think a month has gone by. They haven't gotten a notification on YouTube or Google or Facebook that, oh, we've made updates. We've made updates to our terms of service, which are always changing in order so that we can change the rules so that you're out of your favor. Well, this used to be allowed, but it's not anymore because it's dangerous. You're not allowed to think. You're not allowed to say. But it's a public square. Well, they're a private company. They can do what they want. Not if it's a public square. Sorry. You could be a private company and have a public square. But as soon as you start selectively editing, you become an editor. That's publication. That is also 100% correct. Indisputable. Though it is falsifiable. You have no counter evidence. I'm right. That's what I do. I'm the grumpy old man at 30. I'm right. I'm correct. So you better come correct. All right. So I think I'm going to end it there today. All right. Give you some things to think about. Okay. Is speech violence? Yes or no? Let me know on my Facebook page. I want to hear from you. I love proving people that they're incorrect and setting them on the correct path of learning how to think. Okay. Through coercion. I'm going to persuade you to have a more individual mindset, not be a part of the collective. Okay? Don't be one of the Borg. Be one of Starfleet. Be an individual. That's what I'm saying. I said it. I'm dropping my mic on that. This is the Grumpy Old Man at 30. I'm your host, Tyler Randall. Salutations.